guys. This is Jimmy Schubert. Woo. Please welcome the host who eats the most toast. He's not a ghost, but he does like to boast. It's Vinny Paulino.
Oh, that was just the worst introduction I think I may have ever gotten in my life for anything. I don't know if you folks know this at home, but in New Zealand, Steve is an accomplished rap artist. So, he has a few New Zealies, I believe, on his mantle. I don't know what the hell. My name is
making a joke about New Zealand there, but I actually think our music awards are called New Zealies.
No, they're not.
They're either called New Zealies or Zealies or something like that, I think so.
Sheepies.
Sheepies.
That's marvelous. So yeah, I am here this morning with you, and my normal co-host Brian Ball is not here. Steve,
what happened to him? Where's he gone?
It doesn't matter, because you know what that makes today? It makes it, you ready, Steve? No Brian Day!
No,
no Brian Day!
Woo!
Balloons! I'm a sucker for balloons. Oh, he hit the camera. Sucker for balloons.
Happy No Brian Day, guys.
Happy No Brian Day, guys.
I've never seen you so happy, Vinny.
I don't know. I'm fine. You were moping around about it. You were like, man, No Brian Day.
I think it's a little bit sad to not have Brian here. I mean, I've got the hat on and everything, but I just, you know, it's like without him here, I'm worried that I'm the next in line for punching bag, so.
Well, no, you're not, because sitting in his chair today, lucky for us, he's a 10-year comedy veteran. He is also the showroom manager here at Comedy at the Carlson. Could you do me a favor and put your hands together for my very good friend, Steve, Jimmy LaChase?
Hey! Finally!
Happy No Brian Day.
Happy No Brian Day, everybody.
So, when do we want to cut this cake?
What cake?
This one. I got us a cake.
Can't have No Brian Day without cake.
You can't have No Brian Day without cake is correct, guys.
Do we all get some of that cake, or is that a no?
It's like... for the talent. It's for Jimmy and I.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me.
It's for Vinny.
Yeah. You should have brought your own No Brian Day cake.
You gotta have your own cake.
Yeah. Chris, go work on the sound. Stop worrying about balloons and go do your job. For the love of...
God damn it, Chris!
I mean, he's standing here like the balloons are gonna be put back in the bag and thrown again at any minute. I wonder why that could
be. It's because it could be No Steve Day any minute now. Could be No Chris Day. You guys want to find out how many No Person Days we can have in this show?
Listen, I would be thrilled at each and every one of them. I would celebrate as hard as I would here. Brian's at some bike thing. Congratulations to him, actually. He wrote his second book, and he's autographing it. Like, people care about
why?
His... Well, he writes about lay-down bicycles, and he's good at it. So you can check out his website, Bent Rider Online, and if you like that kind of thing.
His website's called what again?
Bent Rider Online. Cause
you know,
because
they lie down when they ride those dumb bikes?
Yes.
And those cool bikes that are great for Brian's...
lower bike. Back and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was like a LGBT...
No, that's not slang in this country, you idiot.
Well, I think we should probably bring up some things that are going on here and get moving. Jimmy, Sunday night open mic here at Comedy at the Carlson.
Ooh, excited about this one.
Oh, my goodness. We don't know who's hosting this week. It could be me. It might be Brian. It could be RJ. But we want you to be funny. If you ever thought you could do stand-up or you wanted to try it, you should come out on a Sunday night. Because,
definitely come out.
If it's not Brian, will there be cake?
No.
No. Once again, Jimmy and I will have eaten it all. So sign up is at 7:30 p.m. If you want to sign up to perform, you need to be there at 7:30. Showtime is at 8, and that is pretty excellent. And there's another thing going on in this city right now, Jimmy. It's brings out the worst in every local
Ooh,
business.
Oh, yeah. brings out, like a knife fight.
It brings out the worst in all of us. It is the Best of Rochester surveys of the Rochester City newspaper, and Comedy at the Carlson's up for Best New Bar or Club.
Yeah, super proud of that. Super
we
proud of it.
Are happy about that, and we only get one shot at it, and we need your vote.
Oh, that's right. I just realized we only get to be best new once.
That's right.
Shit. I thought this could be like a yearly thing, like if we'll just keep renaming the club. Like, I want to get this best new bar.
Welcome to our new club. Jokes at the Carlson, everybody. And I should also say that, you know, this little podcast we did is also nominated.
Oh,
Shazam!
Whoa!
Huzzah! Don't forget to vote for Comedy at the Carlson Cast for Best Local Podcast Not Originating on Radio. And also, last but not least, hey, I'm not ashamed to pander.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I'm not ashamed to pander. I'm not ashamed to pander. I got to tell you, folks, I earned this and I deserve it, and you should all vote for me now.
Yeah, set you had last night.
If you haven't Jimmy, voted you yet, do it.
After your set last night, I absolutely agree you're the best comic in Rochester.
Oh, suck it. Malcolm. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I just want to win Best Podcast. I love doing this show with you guys so much, and it's great that we're nominated. And when I say you guys, I mean Steve, Chris, not Brian and Jimmy. I love you guys. This is good. And we should talk about our real sponsors. Shall we do that for a second, Jimmy?
How come we never plug the other nominees for Best Local? Okay, I'll stop talking.
Yeah, great addition, Steve. Real help. Real helpful.
Like what? Like what?
Well, I just feel like there's other
Vinny, order another cake.
Other nominees for Best Local Comedian. Like, it's not just you. Maybe we should show who the other nominees for Best Local Comedian are. That might not be a terrible idea.
It's an awful idea, Steve. It's an awful idea. It's Malcolm Whitfield, Kelsey Clare hanging in Sky Sands.
They don't get a graphic, but they're there.
Why would I? You really expected me to have graphics made for my competition, Steve? Really? Actually, no. You know me.
To be honest, I regret speaking.
Hulk Hogan didn't walk around in an Ultimate Warrior shirt.
I mean, for the love of Pete. For the love of Pete.
I'm so sorry.
I hate you all. So let's talk about our sponsors. Let's start with, oh my God, Iron Smoke Whiskey. Mm. Delicious. Jimmy, you just stay where you are. Don't get too excited. But I will tell you this. If you're coming to see a show here at Comedy at the Carlson, we do offer some signature craft cocktails from the folks at Iron Smoke Whiskey. And it is available in your local store, liquor store in two varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey, or as I like to call it, the Get You Drunk kind.
Sure does.
And then the Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey, which will also do the job.
Yeah, also get you drunk.
It'll do the job. It'll do the job. So check out ironsmokewhiskey.com, and they are also nominated for Best Local Distillery. So if you're going to vote, you got 1 week left to vote. You might want to do that. And oh my God, this guy is going to be the death of me, Chef Joe.
Oh yeah, I'm going to die. He made this place.
Last night he came to the club and he catered an event, and he made chicken French that was so freaking good that like I couldn't sleep last night. It was all I could think about because I am a fat fuck. Sapori Cafe Catering. You could go down there and have lunch at the Powers Building Atrium, or on Fridays you get a fish fry down at the Tennis Club of Rochester from Sapori.
Got to.
Yes, and they will also cater your special event, ladies and gentlemen.
So good.
Our other very awesome sponsor, Three Heads Brewing. Three Heads Brewing's got some big stuff going on. You should definitely check out their Facebook page, facebook.com/whatever the fuck, Three Heads Brewing. I don't know how
that's actually how Facebook are officially writing it out now. It's facebook.com/, and then you've got to write whatever the fuck.
Right.
And then another /.
Another great add-in, Steve. Thanks.
Thank you for improving my joke, Steve. You did a great job.
Or
you can go to threeheadsbrewing.com, but they're having awesome, awesome Halloween parties this year. Ooh. And right at the brewery. So they're also nominated for Best Local Beer Bar and Best Local Brewery. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. They are responsible for a lot of liver damage.
They certainly are. I'm sending Jeff Dale a bill. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our last but not least, Bad Drip e-liquids, baddriplabs.com. Delicious. Make your vape trip delightful. Make it Bad Drip. Is it a trip? I don't know. What are we doing with the vapes, Jim? You vape.
Yeah, but that's just to quit smoking. I don't know what people do it, like Brian, who are just like, I decided to start vaping.
Who are just like, they're into it.
Yeah, they're like, I love having a machine in my pocket.
Let me tell you, he actually, you know, Brian's not here, but I will say this about him. He does like this stuff. He's like, this is really delicious.
He talks to me about it all the time. He's like, you got to get the whole rig. I'm like, fuck you. I go to a gas station, get a $10 thing, and go home because I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore.
Aw, but try it out. If you're going to do it.
You should do that. If you're going to be like a nerd like Brian, definitely get the Bad Drip because I've heard it's the best there is.
It is the best there is. Bad Drip on Instagram. And Steve Z, you back there, buddy?
Yeah, I am. I'm just still reeling from the fact that Brian Ball, just like, he never smoked. He just decided to pick up vaping.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't want to blow him in.
Let's say it is. Yeah. I say say it is.
New origin story for Brian. He's a weirdo who just started vaping in his 40s.
Anyway,
his ever-running attempt to be hipper. You know, what are the 22-year-olds who don't know what they're talking about doing? Oh, vaping? I'm in. Going to wear a stupid hat for the rest of my life. And vape.
Oh,
I'm dying.
Oh my god, he's getting buried in these money
areas. Well, okay. Brian, you're probably watching this live, which I know you're not in town.
He was the best man in my wedding. It's not like, well, it didn't work out, the wedding part, but
yeah, that
you know, he was my best man. We love you, Brian.
And there's a chance you might be invited to the next one.
Yeah, you might get an invite.
Oh my god,
to the second or third. I got to catch up.
You're my best friend, Brian. I miss you.
This is the guy who made a cake. Okay.
I didn't make a cake. I paid good money for the cake. Big difference. And now we're going to eat it. And we'll be back with Jimmy Schubert after these words from the folks at Bad Drip.
Keep following Comedy at the Carlson Cast. You can like us on Facebook at Comedy at the Carlson Cast, all the way over there. Otherwise, if you've got Twitter, everybody loves that little tweet machine, don't they? You can follow us there too. Look, it's at the Carlson Cast. That's us. So get on over there and check that out. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, your host, the one, the only, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Oh, boy. I am a little nervous. I'm going to try really hard not to fanboy out right now. In the studio live with us this morning, Jimmy Schubert.
Good morning.
Oh, Jimmy, where to begin here? I'm going to start off. I usually do not fillet the guests this early, but I am a big fan. I think you are an amazing comic. Sorry.
Oh, thanks, man. I
mean that. I don't usually say that. If you ever watch these shows, I never lose my cool like this. But mm-hmm. You were one of the first comics I ever saw live, and I think you're the greatest.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I mean, you're a comedian as well, so it's a high praise indeed. I mean, you're somebody who understands how difficult it is to do and do it at a high level. So coming from you, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I mean that.
And for those of you who've never seen Jimmy Schubert, he's going to be here for four more shows at Comedy at the Carlson tonight and tomorrow. You get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4.
Comedy,
that's the answer. Yeah. Get your tickets right now for Jimmy Schubert, tonight, tomorrow. I was reading about you online, because like I was trying to figure out how to describe your style to people, because like people were saying, oh, Jimmy Schubert.
I would say my style dances fearlessly on the high wire of emotional intensity and imagination.
Yeah, nailed it.
Is that too much? Perfect.
That was way better than what I had.
What did you have? Let me hear what you had.
I saw somebody who described you on the internet. They said you do a full contact set. You just do full contact comedy.
Full contact comedy, yeah.
Dude, that's exactly what it is, because like you have a very commanding presence on the stage. And I know you started very, very young. How, I mean, when you first started to where you are now, what were you like when you first started doing comedy?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, it's funny, I developed that style actually opening for Sam Kinison, because I was a young guy and opening for, like, you know, you're doing theaters, you know, 5,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, and so you had a good Carl LeBeau, who was like my big brother in comedy, he said, you know, you have to perform the whole joke. How do you make 5,000 seats intimate? And you do it by performing the joke. You can't just say that the guy, you got to be the guy. You got to turn into the guy. You got to be, you know, so you got to really kind of perform the whole joke and be all the characters in the joke. And it really made me a more of a three-dimensional comedian than it is. But, you know, I'm like, you know, like you go see Bruce Springsteen. I mean, the guy does, you know, 3-4 hours of rock anthems and he expends everything on stage.
Right.
And says, yeah. And I always feel an obligation to people who spend their hard-earned dollars to come and see me at a comedy club to give them everything I got.
Yeah.
I'm never going to phone it in. I enjoy making people laugh. It's a passion of mine. I've been doing it for a long time. It's just one of those things I get excited still about doing it. I've been doing it for a long time, but I still get excited about doing it.
That's the cool thing. You could tell that you're having fun doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Even though your persona is like, it's edgy. I would say it's edgy, and it's like it's kind of in your face. Like, I'm here, and I'm talking, and you're listening. But it is, like you said, intimate, and you're bringing people in that would normally be like...
Yeah,
well, it has its ups and downs. And sometimes you just talk to them, and sometimes you elevate your you know. But I'm just passionate about it. And so lots of times people mistake my passion for anger. They go, oh, you're angry. No, I'm not. I'm just passionate about what I'm talking about.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, and as a performer, I have to compete with the theater of real life. So sometimes if I have to verbally smack you, it's to get you to pay attention because so you get your head out of your goddamn smartphone.
Right.
And you pay attention to what I'm saying. And sometimes you got to grab them verbally by the lapels and go, hey!
I just wish I had the visual right now of Mark Ippolito sitting to my right on his smartphone, as you said.
Well, Mark's doing business. Mark's conducting business.
Sure.
Mark's conducting business, so he's got to, you know, he's running the operation. Who you think pays for all this, huh? You?
Yes, I did, actually.
Yeah, it was me.
So he gets a pass.
Yeah, Mark can do whatever he wants.
Well, we talked about this a little last night, because I hadn't seen you live like Vinny until you came here and did the drop-in set in the contest.
And I was going to say, that showed how much fun you could just have.
Oh, yeah, but we were talking about this, and I'd only seen you on TV before, and I was like, he's great. And then to see you live was like probably my favorite stand-up experience I've ever had.
Wow.
And I have watched so much comedy.
Well, Jesus, bro, I'm going to have to butter up my head to get out of this room. It's like an ego massage parlor in here all of a sudden.
I got yelled at last night because I was watching you in the back of the room by the soundboard, and you did a joke, and I literally just smacked something so hard because it caught me so funny. And they were just like, stop it!
No, that was me. Not
that
me.
Was you.
Yeah, well, what was the joke?
It was the one about dogs wearing sweaters.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, I live in Los Angeles. It's like, you know, I was like, you know, I've seen people push a dog in a baby stroller.
Right.
And I think you should be able to clothesline those people as you go by, just with a stiff arm. Just clothesline them, you know? You know, I mean, it's an animal. In the wild, he'd be sleeping inside a bear carcass, you know? You know, you're such a douchebag. I'm going to be exposed to your insane love of animals. Like, you know, a widower passes away and she uses her late husband's life savings and a couple matching leather recliners for the Rottweilers and, you know, this would be taken care of. I mean, look, I love animals too. It's just, I love them so much I don't own one.
There it is. Is it true your dad was a police detective?
Yeah, my dad was a Philadelphia police detective for 30 years. Homicide, major crimes. He did it all. Real old school. Real old school motherfucker.
Is that where you get a little bit of your style from, you think?
Well, I just, you know, dude, I'm 8 years old, I'm getting ready to go to school, and you walk downstairs, you see the crime scene photos. It was like some guy blew his fucking head off, and all of a sudden, the lower jaw and the top of the head's going, this is what people are capable of. But you know, I also grew up in Philadelphia, and people in Philadelphia are very direct.
Yes.
And you know, and I find, like, I live in Los Angeles now, and I'd rather have somebody come right at me. Come out right at me and say, you're an asshole. I could deal with that. I could give you you guys are a fucking asshole. I know how to handle a guy like that, you know? But, you know, the one thing I can't stand is in Los Angeles. That's where people are shaking your hand and they're feeling your back for a soft spot to stick the knife.
Yeah.
I can't stand phony people. I just rather have you come right at me direct. It's like, you'd rather be slapped in the face with the truth than, you know, kissed with a lie, you know?
That's a very solid point.
You know, so and that's just always been my thing. I grew up with five brothers. There's 6 boys in my house. I had no sisters. My dad was a homicide detective. And, you know, I got one feeling, and I fucking dare you to hurt it. You know, so I don't know. I just think people are coddled now, and people are like, you know, it's like, you know, he's not fat. He's gravitationally challenged. He's not a faggot. He's phallically dependent. I mean, really? You're talking about fucking words here. I mean, what are you, fucking so sensitive? sensitive. You're gonna fucking, what are you, bruised like a fucking banana?
We do in this country, though.
Well,
if you,
well, I got no fucking time for it, because life is, the world is full of fucking evil people who want to do fucking horrible shit to each other. And you may think it's a fucking Walt Disney movie, but it's fucking not. And you might want to sit there and let your TV tell you how to think and feel, but I fucking don't. And you may want to believe all the fucking bullshit they jammed down your throat, but I don't. I prefer not to. And so that's just my choice I've made in my life. But you can sit there and, you know, start gonna find a fucking glass of hot chocolate and a warm blanket and a box of crowns and fucking start coloring and hiding your safe space all day. I ain't got fucking time for that bullshit.
What's your beef with coloring? Just kidding. I got nothing. I guess.
I wasn't good
I guess.
I was terrible. Inside the lines.
Fucking terrible at coloring. Tell us how you really feel about the PC culture, Jimmy.
Well, you know, you could do what you want. You can live in that fucking world, but that's not the world fucking the way the world operates. I'm just not. I just say, you know, and we live in the social media world, and I think if you wouldn't say that to someone's face, then you shouldn't be able to post it on fucking Twitter. And I grew up where, like, before social media, where, like, you're sitting at a bar and you made your opinion fucking known, and people go, "Is that your opinion?" Yeah. Bang. Yeah. Now your opinion's been noted and found fucking wanting. Next fucking thing. You know, I mean, you know, people don't think there's consequences for their actions now. Like, the NFL players taking a knee, they don't think there's consequences. But the fucking ratings are dropping. They're dropping, and by fucking November, you'll be playing a half full fucking stadiums. And next year, your contract's going to drop by $500,000, maybe $1 million, because the owners can't afford to pay it because you fucking decided to put your fucking dick somewhere where it didn't belong. I think it's fucking, there's consequences for your actions, and people need to fucking realize that.
And, you know, that's the thing with, just in general, if we're going down this road in a free society.
You started it, bro.
I did not. I don't think I did.
Go in a free society.
I was just saying, in a free society, you know, you can do what you want to, but
no,
other
people. You can't. You're an employee.
But other people are going to react how they're going to react.
Yeah.
He could do it, but you know what? People aren't going to like it. There's
actually,
consequences.
He works for somebody else.
Sure.
If I took a knee on fucking Thursday night and said I'm protesting oppression and I'm not telling jokes tonight, I wouldn't make it to the first show fucking Friday. You know? I wouldn't make it if I'd be fired and sent home on a fucking plane.
You're
working for somebody else. You're working for the NFL. You're fucking destroying the brand. Roger Goodell doesn't know what the fuck his brand is. People tune in to see sports to forget about all that shit. Get your politics out of my goddamn football. But I'm not watching it this year. I'm not watching a fucking single game. I told the cable company, come get my fucking box.
You called the cable company and said, get the box.
Get the box. But it has more to do. I don't want to see CNN. I don't want to watch Fox News. I don't want your bullshit. You know what I do? I listen to music all day, and I fucking think.
See, now I'm
critical.
With you.
Now I do critical thinking. Now, because without those moments, and we're being, you know what the thing is? We're drowning in all this information. We're starving for knowledge, you know? And the thing is like, you gotta have those moments. You can't be in your phone all the time. Fucking those moments where you get quiet reflection, where you get to think about your life and come up with your dreams and your goals, and you gotta have the time to do some critical thinking. Otherwise, you get chromatically lost.
Can I just stop you right there for a second?
No, let me stop you.
Okay.
Because here's what happens is, you're like this, and you forget there's people out there. There's people on the other end of your communication.
Do you not realize how much easier it is just to Google your hopes and dreams, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, that's fine if you live in fucking that world. But the thing is, and that's why you got fucking assholes that do this shit in Vegas, because they think they don't think there's people down there. There's real people down there, because you're fucking Googling and everything's through a fucking keyboard. And that's why, you know, people need to get back to making a human connection.
Uh-huh.
You need to make a human. You want to make a difference in life? Go to an old age home. Talk to some older folks who are sitting there that are so fucking lonely. Go sit and read with those people. Have you tell them nurses? Go feed some homeless people. Go work with some special needs kids. You want to make a difference in the world? Go do that. Get off your fucking keyboard and your Facebook with all your phony fucking friends.
I'm with you. In fact, folks, if you would like to bring.
Who gave me coffee?
A senior citizen.
Who gave me coffee?
Senior citizen.
Streaming live on Facebook right now.
Yeah, and if you'd like to bring some...
Do you think this all started with social media? Do you know what I mean? Because do you think it's always been like
no,
this? Or do you think
we live in
worse?
Such a narcissistic culture. It's like the guy's taking a knee in the NFL. What fucking good does that do besides you're fucking sitting there taking a knee because you're going to show everybody how cool you are? It doesn't do anything. Go into your community and work with some fucking kids who don't have dads and make a difference in their lives. You didn't take a knee? What are you, a fucking asshole? What are you doing? Taking a knee. The only time you should take a knee in the NFL is when you're tying your cleat.
There it is. There it is. But if you'd like to bring community youth or senior citizens to come see Jeebus Schubert, there's four shows this weekend.
But I mean,
we're losing our humanness.
You're not wrong there.
Humanness. And that's why people are all depressed. That's why people are taking Prozac and Zoloft and a fucking Pez dispenser. Get outside your own head. Get outside your own head. Go fucking see there's people out there who have it 100 times worse than you do. And you have an ability, you got 10 fingers, you got 10 toes. Go touch people's lives, make a human connection. And I can't, now I sound like John Connor from the Terminator. Get away from the machines! The machines are taking over!
There's two on my desk right now!
This is like a great use of technology.
Yeah.
But I'm saying people think they go buy an expensive computer and they think getting on the Facebook is using your computer. They think it's using it. No, it's not.
It's not using the computer.
I just read an article about Google. Google hooked up two computers and they added each other into Facebook accounts. And then the computers started talking to each other. And then the computers started talking to each other in a language that nobody understood.
French?
And it scared the shit out of them. They fucking unplugged the computers and disconnect them because artificial intelligence, it's a real thing. I mean, you watch, there's a great documentary called Transcendence Man.
Okay.
With Ray Kurzweil, who thinks that our biology is going to merge with technology at some point.
You know what? They're putting it into clothes. They're putting it into, like, you know, everything in very small. It's a matter of time.
And people go, hey, I got my smartphone. I go, what if this smartphone? You go, wait a second. What if this was a way? He goes, you don't understand. We'll give these to people. They will check in everywhere they go. They will take pictures of everything they eat. They will weigh in about every fucking single issue. We'll know everything about them.
Or
it could just be a phone.
Right.
But they can track you everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
They know what you're texting to each other. It's all accessible. You have zero fucking privacy. If they wanted to, they can access the microphone in your house and listen to your conversation.
Sure could.
Okay, this is Big Brother shit.
Amazon had to get in on it with Alexa. And don't forget, folks, before you run off and get off the grid, come see Jeebus Schubert for four more shows here this weekend at Comedy Carlson.
Yeah, before you get your own little unibomber cabin in the woods.
Right. Before you start digging in your backyard for your bunker.
There's a healthy balance. I'm just sitting there and I see people, like, they're walking, they're not even present.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be present in your life, man.
Do you think your comedy comes from, like, an angry place? Like, you see something and it bugs you and you write jokes?
That's where it starts.
It starts with being bugged.
I'm a great observer of the human condition, and you have to be, I think, is to be a real comedian. You watch people. I'm a great people watcher, and I travel constantly, so you see people at airports, and you see people, you know, you get the loud talkers at the airports. I mean, here's a great example. The other day, I'm at the airport. I had to use the facilities, you know, and the guy in the next stall next to me answers his phone. I mean, I'm going, really? You don't have time to take a shit? You got to handle it? I'm sitting there trying to relax and launch a sewer pickle. This dude is doing some kind of hostile corporate merger. I don't even know how he's pulling off with the noises coming out of his ass. I thought there was a homicide being committed next door. I couldn't take it.
Call my dad.
At one point, I just stood up and said, hey, chew your food, will you? Chew your food. It was just... I think it's important for people... You know, because of all the social media, it's easy to become a narcissist.
Sure.
It's easy to get caught up. How many likes do I have? I don't have enough likes. How many followers do I have? I don't have enough followers. Like, that's make-believe. You're caught in you're lost in a world of make-believe.
It's a crazy make-em-up.
Well, motherfucker, if you don't got a friend you can call 3 o'clock in the morning because you got a flat on the freeway and a guy will come fucking help you, you better re-examine your fucking life.
You're not wrong.
Look, man, you know, I think that's what you're seeing in the world is that people... You're missing, like, this human connection. And you know, I get it. People go, oh, you know, fucking most people are assholes. I go, yeah, but I'm fine. Well, then you stop being an asshole. You want to have great friends in life? You know what you do? You be a great friend to people. You want to be loved? You fucking love people. Whatever you put out into the universe comes back to you tenfold.
The love you take is equal to the love that you make.
Simple as that, bro. It's a universal fucking rule. It's a karma. It's a wheel. Steel-bunded fucking radial of karma. It keeps going around and around.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you live a certain quality of your life. I mean, people have been fired for tweets. People have lost fucking high-paying jobs because of tweets. I mean, this is the world we're living in now. The outrage. I mean, Cam Newton said, hey, look at that. A woman asked me about Ralph's. and the guy lost the fucking sponsor, and then people are outraged because he said so. I mean, you can't even fucking joke with people anymore. I mean, it's pathetic. We're becoming dumber as a species because of it. You got a smartphone and a smart car. I was talking to my smartphone, my smart car, and I got a fucking...
And you're a dumb person with smart things.
You're an idiot. Well, because you're an idiot. You know, I just... Okay. Look, my phone is a way for me to keep in touch with the world. It's not a way for me... And I just... You know, my favorite thing to do is fucking delete people and block people off my Facebook account. dumb.
What's the criteria? Do you look at posts or you just pictures?
No, posts.
Like Tinder.
Posts.
Jimmy, do you think this is why you like doing close-up magic? Because it forces you to make connections with people?
Well, yeah, I think I do. I do, because, you know, it's more intimate. It's one-on-one. Right. It's smaller groups and stuff like that. Yeah, because it makes a connection. I don't think, like, tricks are tricks, but I think real magic is how you make people feel while you're doing it. That's what real magic is. Right. And it's touching somebody.
Like rubes.
Moving somebody. Right. Because the magic instills this fucking childlike sense of wonder that as adults we all fucking lose it.
Right.
We all lose it. People become cynical and hardened and, you know, and I just don't, I mean, look, yeah, everybody can make their own decisions in their life and to live the way they do. And I choose to be happy and I love making people laugh. I think it's healing. I think it's powerful. And if you can do it well and you can touch, and I've had people come out and grab me after shows like, oh my God.
Yeah, I can see why, yeah.
I needed to laugh. Mm-hmm. I needed that so much. And I never underestimate that ability to be able to do that. I never underestimate that talent. I think it's special, and I think it's powerful, and I never take it for granted. And I work my ass off on my writing because I know I know the effect it has on people.
Right.
I had a guy, he was at a funeral for his aunt, his favorite aunt, who raised him. And he was fucking terribly sad. And he goes, I came and saw your show, and it made me feel a little bit better. But I've had guys, you know, you don't know if there's somebody in the audience thinking about killing themselves or committing suicide. And for that brief time you're on stage, you get to touch them and move them and maybe let them see that life is just, it just is what it is. You know, you don't come up with permanent solutions to temporary problems. And maybe you can laugh a little bit at yourself. And maybe you don't, you know, but I always think... You don't know what people are going through in your audience, and you never underestimate. You go up there and try to make them laugh and try to make everybody laugh.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, I'm the showroom manager and Mark's here. We see this like every week. Like, there was one show, I forget who was on stage, but some lady, exactly, her son had just died, and his favorite color was red, and the comedian had something red, and she like talked to him about how it moved him, and like he gave her the thing, and you're exactly right. It transcends things for people.
Red man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so you don't know, and I think you get the freedom to say whatever you want, but you also have a tremendous responsibility to perform to the best of your ability. I mean, there's lots of times you go up and you don't feel funny or I don't feel like doing it, and I just say, oh boy, how many people can really, I mean, been able to make a living? I've been lucky enough to be able to make a living doing this for 25 years, so I never phone it in. It's the one thing. I mean, if you can't get your shit together for an hour a night, it's the one thing that I may do better than 5% of people in the world.
You're very passionate about what you do, and it comes through in the art. It really does.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to get heavy. I mean, it's a fucking comedy podcast.
No, that's all right. This is what we're actually about. I'd rather discuss the science of comedy than anything, to be honest with you.
You know, and people don't realize, I mean, there was an article I read, it was in Popular Mechanics.
Okay.
And it was called The Anatomy of a Joke, What Makes People Laugh. And you really have to think about it because it's completely unconditioned response.
Yeah. Right.
You walk up in front of 400 strangers, and within minutes, they're making them laugh. And they said that they understand the human brain well enough that if they poke it over here, it'll invoke a memory of your third grade teacher's perfume. If they poke it over here, it'll invoke, you know, a memory of your favorite food growing up as a kid. They've actually understand the brain. They've put the cochlear implants in so deaf people can hear, you know. But the knock-knock joke seems to be as elusive as Area 51. They don't understand what makes people laugh. And that's it. So they've come up and done some studies about, you know, what the funniest joke is and what makes a joke funny. But really, I think you can't. I don't think about that shit because you can't break it down. I just think you just go up and, you know, I mean, I think it's just because you do it so long, you understand what you are. And I think if people get it and they get on board, you know.
Sure. I have this question for you. When you sit down and you write a bit, do you ever say to yourself, I went too far? Do you ever edit yourself that way? Do you ever just write something to go, man, that might be just a little too mean, a little too
vicious? Well, you know, it's funny because I was just in Canada, and I do a joke about the people flying with therapy animals, and this lady brought a pig on the airplane. And I said, what if they gave everybody a little pig? This little piggy sitting in first class. This little piggy sitting in premium plus. This little piggy sitting all the way in the back of the plane. I said, what Muslim's going to hijack that aircraft?
Okay.
Then I changed it to what Muslim extremist would hijack that aircraft because I didn't want to offend Muslims. And then I said, then I just said, what terrorist would hijack that aircraft because people can make the jump.
Right.
I go, sometimes you got to fight fire with pork. So now, I'm not saying Muslim, the joke is not offensive, but yeah, you can say one word and a joke is offensive, and you can change a word and change the inflection of the joke, and it's not offensive, and then it gets a round of applause. And I started saying terrorist up there, and where before, like, the joke kills everywhere else except for California and New York, you know.
Everywhere else,
because they, look, wouldn't that be inclusive? I'm making fun of them.
Sure.
I mean, that isn't that part of our culture? Don't we make fun of everybody?
Right.
It's not, and that doesn't make me a racist. It makes me, I feel comfortable enough with them to make fun of them, and I make fun of everybody.
And also, right. You're saying terrorist. You're not saying, that could be a white guy with a gun or whatever.
That just hates pork.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Someone goes, ooh, that's,
I go, what do you mean, ooh? All I said is, who's going to hijack a plane full of pigs, is what I meant.
Right.
Yeah.
Could have been Jewish.
You're the one who turned it into a fucking Muslim.
That's on them.
Well, yeah, you racist. I turned it right around on them. I put it right back on them.
Well, let me just backtrack a little bit, and I kind of want to ask you the same question, but in a different way. Have you ever had a joke that you've done for a while that you really like? Have you ever said, I have to phase this out because of the climate?
Oh, yeah, dude. I used to do a thing about, this conjoinal twins. You know, the midget country western singer is a bit I do.
Oh,
I
yeah.
On Comedy Central special. I thought that was a little much. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. It's one of my favorite pieces of comedy that I've ever written. But I just think people could misconstrue it.
Sure.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not, look, I didn't want to see it. I was watching TV one day, and there's a conjoined twin on there, and one's a smaller person, and they're connected to head, and one wants to be a country western singer,
uh-huh.
And the other one's going, wow, I like the date, and I'm going, that's just going to be fucking awkward for everybody. I mean, you're out there, you know, it was just, you have to see the piece. I think it's on my YouTube channel, Jimmy Schubert Conjoined Twins. They can Google it, it'll come
sure.
up, but I think I did it was on my special and I decided to drop it and move on. I mean, it's a great piece of comedy, but you have to, I think to create new stuff, you have to let
Absolutely.
Stuff go. You have to let stuff go. And I think that's your job is to constantly create content and create, you know, like world-class pieces of comedy. I mean, it may take you a year or two to finish a piece to get it to where it's just performance ready that it kills every time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, you know, and every joke and every line and every little nuance of the bit. I mean, there's a great book out by Franklin Ajayi called Comic Insights, and I read it probably.
The running back for the Dolphins?
No, not him.
I'm just
Franklin
kidding.
Ajayi is the, he was actually in Bridesmaids. He plays the dad that gives away the girl at the end of the movie, but Franklin Ajayi is a world-class stand-up comedian who was around during the 70s. He's just a funny guy, but he's,
right.
him and his brother travel Australia, and they play jazz together. But, I mean, I just thought the book was a fantastic piece of literature in regard to the art form as far as stand-up comedy. It just covers it. And I had been doing stand-up a long time, but after reading that book, I went, wow, that's interesting. That's really great. It really kind of reaffirmed a couple things, and I picked up a couple things I didn't know. It was like, you know. So, yeah, if anybody's interested in doing stand-up, they want to pick up that book, I think it's great. But, yeah, you just, you know, you know.
Do you have any advice for anybody who's just starting in 2017?
Yeah, get the fuck out of the business.
There it is.
Just don't start doing comedy.
Well, that's the end of the show.
Go find a job with fucking benefits. All right, get the fuck. Well, because here's the thing. There's way too many people doing it now.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's way too many people doing it. It used to be. And the thing is, it's just the business can't sustain it. And you're competing against electronic celebrities, YouTube stars now. The show business everybody's trying to get into, it doesn't exist anymore.
Correct.
So you're trying to get into a business that doesn't exist. And I really, you know, one, it's a high percentage shot now. I mean, I'm established, and, you know, you got to still fight to get every little scrap and beat from the table. And if you were starting from the beginning, I mean, it's going to take you 10 years to get good enough to make a living.
Right.
And you're talking about building a network that's not only just in your city or state, but a national network where you can go make a living doing it. And if you're, you know, and look, if you're, I would say if you enjoy doing it, then enjoy it at a fucking, like a local level. And if you just can't figure out, and then you go, okay, I'm going to take a great, take your shot. If you're young enough to take a shot at it, I mean, you got nothing to lose. But you go to Los Angeles, you're not going to get anywhere near a stage.
Right.
The Comedy Store, the world famous Comedy Store. I mean, you got Bill Burr, Joe Rogan, Doug Stanhope, I mean, Theo Vaughn, I mean, you know, Sebastian, Nikki Glaser, you know, Eliza Slazenger, you know.
You go all day.
It's just a virtual who's who of comedy. And it's not just at the Comedy Store, it's at the Laugh Factory, it's at the Improv. So what I would say to people is, I would say become the biggest fish in your local pond. And then I would jump into some festivals. I would try to get some attention. And then he's the favorite local.
Sorry, just the smile on Vinny's face when you said that was just too beautiful.
Yeah. Where do you think stand-up's headed, though? Like, you think about it a lot.
Well, yeah, because here's where what's going to happen is that, you know, they're not paying any money for, I mean, unless you're Dave Chappelle or Jerry Seinfeld,
right.
They're not paying money for specials. I mean, they'll give you 10 grand or 15
grand. They already paid Jerry and Dave.
Yeah, exactly. They got nothing else left. But, I mean, they'll offer you 10, 15 grand for your special,
mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you produce it yourself. They got, I think the thing is I think you got to kind of really, you got to be smart about it. You got to work smart, not just hard, but you got to work smart. I mean, I know a guy out there, he's in his car, he's touring the country, he has people sign his car, he does it on social media, he calls it the never-ending tour. But I go, he's going to be stuck on the road for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do things to get you out and get your some national exposure, and you got to be smart about it. And you look like somebody like Kathy Griffith.
Right.
Who does dumb shit. Now, that's what I don't think she's talented in any way, shape, or form. And she's had $400,000 worth of plastic surgery and is still so unattractive. If you got a blow drop from her, it would count as anal. But anyway, the point is. Too much. There's no talent or ability there other than saying outrageous things. You know, I mean, look at all the late-night guys.
Craft a joke.
Well, look at all the late-night guys. All the late-night guys, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, Stephen Colbert, mm-hmm. all white guys, all the same political affiliation, all needed to fucking senselessly bash Trump. There's no diversity on the late-night show. They all fucking just want to just fucking trash the president. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's gotten so fucking bad. You're a fucking hack now. I think they're all fucking hacks.
There's
nothing interesting. There are a bunch of. It's just. It's bland. It's like fucking. It's like Jesus. You guys are all doing the same shit. I mean, why? There's nothing interesting about any of you people. Stephen Colbert was getting ready to lose his job. They were going to bring that kid up, Jimmy, the Croydon kid up from the Late Late
James
Show.
Corden.
James Corden.
I heard that rumor.
They were
going to
bring him up. Another white guy who also bashes Trump on the right. I mean, don't you people have anything else to talk about? It's pathetic. You're fucking. I mean. You know, Jesus, it makes you miss Johnny Carson. It makes you miss Letterman, although Letterman was, you know, started to do that towards the end. Look, go make fun of the, you know, it's like, but it's like, you know, I think, you know, fucking.
If Jimmy Fallon called you and asked you to do the Tonight Show, would you do it?
Well, that's not the Tonight Show.
I know, but would you do it?
Would you do the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show?
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, it's a comic. You're a pure comic. That's what I mean. Of course, everyone would do it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like, they're all doing the same thing. And I could tune in, I could switch the heads on 3 and 4. It's the same thing. I mean, if you look, do yourself a favor, watch the late night jokes. You know who did the greatest guy to do a greatest monologue on late night television was a guy named Craig Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was
Craig
great.
Craig Ferguson.
Craig was amazing.
He did the best late night monologues. That guy was great.
But shout out for his show right now. He's got a show on Sirius. I like it. I listen to it a couple nights a week when it's on.
Monologues were great.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just so fucking bland. It's like, I can watch, you know, it's, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just so boring. And besides that, they would never have a guy like me on.
Quick left-hand turn. I just got a message from someone. Did you get into a big thing with somebody about Yelp in Rochester this morning?
Yeah, we were on the Wee Show. Yeah.
What happened?
Well, no, they, this woman called in from Yelp, and then they were live. First off, here's the thing. You know, Yelp, what's the business model? You have people who know nothing about the food industry on the same level of experts, and people know everything about the. I mean, what is your? I think Yelp is an extortion site. I think
that's a very interesting thought.
No, it is. It's extortion.
Very, never
you
thought
pay
of it
money
that way.
To get the negative reviews reviewed, and how do you know you're not? They don't have people out there writing negative reviews about stuff. How do you know it's not your competitor's restaurant? I mean, see, all you're doing is make it really tough for mom and pop shops to survive. There's a guy busting his ass for 90 hours a week trying to feed his family, but oh, he forgot your side of fucking pickle. So you go back to your soul sucking job in your cubicle, and you attack him and try to bring him down like a Attila the Hun with a keyboard. You know, you look.
Yeah.
You look. How long before we start yelping each other? You know, I got to tell you, Vinny was a real asshole. He's got a lazy eye and a club foot. He's got halitosis, and I don't like him. I mean, yeah, well, could you try to be a fucking human being?
Right.
I mean, you know, I've had bad service. I get it. You know, I don't use Yelp. You know what I do? I drive past a restaurant. If it's full, I go. Oh, I got to check that joint out. It looks like a good place. If it's empty, I don't go in there. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Science.
I mean, do we need a, like a, I gotta see Yelp. I'm another reason to fucking use my smartphone. Go fuck yourself. I think it's stupid. I think, you know, the Rocky statue in Philadelphia has 76 Yelp reviews.
Oh, how did
it
do?
They review a fucking statue. Who does that? Who has fucking time for that?
I just want to know if it's a good statue.
Well, you know, it's a statue. Pigeons seem to like it.
Jimmy Schubert, ladies and gentlemen, four shows left this weekend. You could also see playing tonight in the Atrium Bar, Something Else Rochester. They're going to be here performing. So it's going to be a very interesting Friday night here at Comedy at the Carlson. We hope you could join us. Jimmy Schubert, you will and always be one of my favorite comedians in the world.
Well, thank you. Are we done with the podcast?
Would you like? Yeah. I mean, we thought you might want to, like, get away from us and eat some of this No Brian birthday cake with us.
No Brian birthday
cake. No Brian. Yeah, yeah. Mark's already eating it.
After this bear that came out of hibernation gets done pawing at it.
Look what he did to the cake. Show the cake.
Show the cake. Show the cake. Can we cut to the cake?
That's not the cake.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Good choice. Yeah, there's no knives involved or forks involved in that.
That's so funny, dude. My friend, my buddy Jason Lawhead is a guy who opens for me and Roy. He's a great guy. He opens for Bill Burr. He works for Sebastian. Real funny guy, sports guy from Cleveland. He tells me a story about he was going to Ohio State University and he had this girl he was seeing.
Right.
And so, you know, he goes back to her hometown with her. You know, he's going to spend the night at the parents' house. He's going to sleep. You know, so, and she goes out. And she goes home, and he's had a couple drinks now. And she starts flirting with all the local guys. He's like, oh, you know. And he gets all fucking hammered and shitty. And he's looking, and they get in a little fight. And so she goes, you sleep on a couch. I'm going upstairs. And the mom was making these fucking brownies all day for this, like, event.
Right.
And he got so hammered, bro. He destroyed the brownies. He destroys the brownies. They look 10 times worse than that cake looks. He wakes up. He's got fucking brown shit all over his fingers. He thought he shit himself. He's like, you know, and he's sitting there and he looks up and
he's going.
Yeah, and he sees the mom and dad are out there. You can see the backs of their heads. They're enjoying coffee. And he gets up and he sees the brownie pants all destroying us. Look, I'm sorry. I'll buy you some more brownies. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to buy a million. We're buy some more brownies, champ. That's what it's been. So finally gets home and meets the mom and dad, just destroys the fucking mom's brownies. This is the greatest story ever. You know,
Sky Sands is watching live right now.
Sky Sands!
And he wanted me to tell you that you have an awesome t-shirt on.
Yeah, Sky's also a magician
as
well.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, I'm a magician. I do close-up magic. Yeah. I've been doing it since I'm 9. I was able to dazzle a few people.
Yeah, you made me lose my mind last night.
Like Jimmy's panties were so wet last night, you should have seen him.
Oh,
he was
thanks.
Just sitting there. He was moister than a bun cake.
Yes, he was.
I'm an easy mark.
I've been doing magic since I'm 9. I enjoy it. It's funny because I get to do my stand-up show, and I'll come out in the bar, and some people come up, and they're hanging out. And then you get to do some close-up magic, which I think is kind of cool. And it's just another dimension to yourself. And I think people, you know, it's just I actually picked up, I was in Minneapolis I walked over this table, people were at a show, and I did like a 20-minute little close-up show. The guy walked over and gave me $100. So I'm sitting at the bar, and this other guy was at the table, walked up and gave me another 100. He goes, no. I go, no, please. I'm just doing it. I go, I'm not a pro. I don't want to lose my amateur status.
Are you?
And he goes, no. He goes, thanks for helping us build memories. I mean, he goes, first off, I thought your show was fucking exceptional, and what you did at the table close-up magic-wise was fucking phenomenal. And I see, as a performer, I don't know how to kind of merge them.
Right.
Because it's not, because if I was doing, I mean, other than angry magic, you ready? Pick a card! Remember your card! It's like, you know, if I was merging my stand-up persona, and I don't, like, again, I'm not angry, but it's like, you know, it's like pageant, you know, people expect, you know, it's the gentle art of conjuring. Well, and I don't do anything gently. I'm like a fucking bull in a china shop, you know, so, but you try. I think I work on that to help me, like, it calms me down a little bit.
It decompresses you?
Yeah, it decompresses me a little bit, so that's why I do it. It's therapeutic. I mean, you spend 8 hours on the road, you can only jerk off so much, you know. You jerk off, knee cartilage comes out. You go, maybe I should work with a deck of cards and do some cards.
Before I can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
Before I can't walk. You see the way I walk. I'm so bow-legged I can walk on both sides of the street at the same time. Cut! Cut!
Jimmy Schubert, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. 4 shows this weekend. Look at carlsoncomedy.com for information and call 585-4-COMEDY and you can get your tickets to see him this weekend. You, sir, are a delight.
Thank you, sir. You are a delight as well.
Oh, shucks.
Jimmy, go fuck yourself.
I'm with you. Actually, nice Jimmy LaChase made me miss Brian Ball.
Is Jimmy, speaking of which, is Jimmy going to be reading the sponsors today?
No, I'll do it because I don't trust him. Yeah. That's right. This episode, we'll do it right now. This episode is brought to you by the good folks at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Don't forget to vote in the Best of Rochester survey. They were nominated for Best Local Distillery, available in 2 varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie.
And I just want to thank the 100 people for tuning in live. I'm sure other people will.
No, that was at the beginning. It's more than that now.
Yeah. We had a lot of people watching live. Thank you for watching live. He's absolutely right.
No, it's great. You know, you do these things, and it's just nice that people tune in, and I wanted to thank them for tuning in. And
300 so far.
Wow, 300 people. I didn't know that. I would have been a little nicer.
Yeah.
Our Yelp review is going to be terrible.
Sapori Cafe Catering with the Yelp review for this episode is going to be fucked. Sapori Cafe Catering, that's where we're going for lunch, at the Powers Building Atrium. You go get to them at the Tennis Club of Rochester.
I'm going to go eat there now. How about that? Let's go get some
grub. I'm telling you, you're going to love this joint. Your special event, they will cater it for you. Three Heads Brewing, threeheadsbrewing.com to find out the events happening at the brewery. Don't forget to vote for them for Best Local Beer Bar and Best Local Brewery. And last but not least, oh my God, the good folks at Bad Drip e-liquids. Must be over 18, but trust me, if you are and you're going to vape, put some Bad Drip in your vape. You're going to love it. At Bad Drip on Instagram.
Hey, bro, seriously, but not to cut it off, what about the edibles? What's the situation with that?
I don't know anything about them, officer. We'll see you next time, folks.
I'm kidding.
That you're half of the flesh and blood makes me whole.